Greetings to all of you, those who are here in San Diego and those who are listening in. And of course, you must be living in the desert somewhere in a cave if you haven't heard and seen what is happening over there in Egypt. And of course, we are getting conflicting reports almost on a daily basis as to what is happening. This morning it was originally announced that Mr. Mubarak resigned as president and also as the leader of the party, and then this was revoked, and it was said, oh, he just resigned as the leader of the party, and the final word was, no, he didn't resign even as the leader of the party. So, I mean, this is the kind of information we are getting, and we'll talk a little bit about that in our announcements. But today I'd like to talk about what the Bible has to say about what is going to happen to Egypt and also to some of the other countries in the Middle East. Now, the reason I thought I go into that is because there's all kinds of information floating around on the Internet, including from religious circles, to the effect that Egypt will be the king of the south, leading a confederation of Arab nations against the king of the north. Some say that Iran actually is going to be the king of the south. Of course, the interesting thing is that those people always claim that they are following Mr. Armstrong's footsteps. And Mr. Armstrong has made it very clear, dogmatically so, that Egypt is not going to be the king of the south, if there is to be the king of the south. He made it very clear that if there is a king of the south, it has to be Ethiopia. Now, of course, Ethiopia could be in alliance with some other countries. But I like to go away from all the speculations and all the scenarios people have come up with, because many times they are using scriptures out of context or they ignore scriptures in order to just put their scenario together. Today I'd like to look at the scriptures. So let's read from the Bible what actually is prophesied. And some of the scriptures are rather clear, and others may not be that clear. But you can't ignore them. A true minister of God, anyone who speaks on behalf of God, cannot just ignore scriptures, twist scriptures, pervert scriptures, so that his concept becomes the gospel truth. That is something a minister, somebody who speaks for God, must never do. So now, let's turn to some scriptures in the book of Isaiah, and let's notice what the Bible has to say about the future of Egypt. Isaiah chapter 11, and let's start reading in verse 11. Isaiah 11, 11. It shall come to pass in that day. Now, every time you read the words in that day, you know it's talking about the time just prior to Christ's return or the time following Christ's return. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time. The Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Patros and Cush. Patros, by the way, is the country of Egypt's origin. And then we're talking about Cush, which is Ethiopia, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim, but they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines towards the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east, and they shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab. Remember those countries, Edom and Moab. And the people of Ammon, remember that, shall obey them. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind he will shake his fist over the river, referring to the river Nile, and strike it in the seven streams, and make men cross over dry land. And then it says, and make men cross over dry shod. I knew it wasn't dry land. I couldn't find the reference here. It says dry shod. There will be a highway, for 16, for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. So what we can gather from this passage is that there are going to be captives both in Assyria and in Egypt, as a time when God will intervene. And then those who are become free will then rule over Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Now, other scriptures need to tell us what captives will be in what parts of the world. Now, notice in Ezekiel chapter 29, but keep your finger in the book of Isaiah, because we come back to that. But in Ezekiel 29, we find an interesting passage in verse 14. Ezekiel 29 and verse 14. I will bring back the captives of Egypt and cause them to return to the land of Patros, so Egyptians will be in captivity too. To the land of their origin, see Patros, the land of the origin of Egypt, and there shall be, and there shall be a lowly kingdom. It shall be the lowliest of kingdoms. It never shall again exalt itself above the nations, for I will diminish them so that they will not rule over the nations any more. No longer shall it be the confidence of the house of Israel, but will remind them of their iniquity when they turn to follow them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. So the Egyptians will begin to understand who the true God of the Bible is, but they will not become a very powerful nation anymore. But before that happens, other things will have to happen. Let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 19. And if there's any scripture which would accurately describe what is happening in Egypt right now, it is this one. And of course, this is not just the fulfillment of the scripture, but it is already in process of fulfilling it. Notice this, Isaiah chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. The burden against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. Verse 2. I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother, everyone against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. If you look at the news, if you look at the television screen, if you see the violence going on between the Egyptian people, Egyptian fighting against Egyptian, you know that what we are seeing here is the beginning of the fulfillment of the scripture. But it goes on to say in verse 3, the spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their counsel, and they will consult the idols and the charmers and the mediums and the sorcerers. And the Egyptians I will give into the hand of a cruel master, and a fierce king will rule over them, says the Lord of hosts. We'll see in a moment who that cruel master is. Let's start reading in verse 14 of the same chapter. The Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst, and they have caused Egypt to err in all her work, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. Neither will there be any work for Egypt, which the hat or tail, palm, branch, or bulrush may do. In that day, again talking about the time just prior to Christ's return and following Christ's return, in that day Egypt will be like women, and will be afraid and fear because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he waves over it. And the land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt, in a sense that Egypt won't dare anymore attacking Judah. Everyone who makes mention of it will be afraid in himself, because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he has determined against it. In that day, verse 18, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts. One will be called the city of destruction. In that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the land of hosts and the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors. So Egypt will be oppressed. And he will send them, God will send them a Savior and a mighty one. Guess who that is? None other than Jesus Christ. And he will deliver them. Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. Apparently they don't know him now. and they will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of three, with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Ultimately, we will find that these three countries will play dominant roles in the millennium. But as we have just said, originally it is stated that Egypt will not be very powerful. But in the process of time, that is what's going to happen. Now, notice also in Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 13. Again, a prophecy for the future. Isaiah 27 and verse 13. So it shall be in that day. The great trumpet will be blown. Now, some think that this has to do with the trumpet which is blown on the Day of Atonement. I personally feel it's talking about the trumpet at the time of the last, the seventh trumpet, the time of the resurrection of the Christians. The great trumpet will be blown, and they will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt, talking about Israel and Judah, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. So here are captives of Assyria, Germany, and of Egypt, and God will come to free them. Free them out of captivity. And that is going to happen apparently at the time when Christ returns, when the last trumpet will sound. Now let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 30. Let's read some more about what is prophesied for Egypt. And as we read those prophecies, you might want to look at the situation now, and you might want to start thinking how they could come about. That's why it's so important to watch events as they proceed and unfold. Ezekiel 30, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus says the Lord God, Wail, woe to the day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. Again, talking about the time just prior to Christ's return and, after Christ has returned. It will be a day of clouds, the time of the Gentiles. The sword shall come upon Egypt. Great anguish shall be in Ethiopia when the slain fall in Egypt, and they take away her wealth, and her foundations are broken down. Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia, all the mingled people, Shup, and the men of the lands who are allied, shall fall with them by the sword. Now let's look at some of these countries here. Ethiopia is mentioned. Libya is mentioned. Lydia is mentioned. Now Lydia goes back to Lut in the Hebrew, and it's referred to in Genesis chapter 10. It's referred to in Jeremiah chapter 46. He is described as a son of Ham. And this country, not more closely identified, is allied with Egypt and Ethiopia and Libya. And then it talks about Shup. Now, this is the only time in the entire Old Testament where that word is used in the Hebrew. And many commentaries feel that it should be translated in this way. In verse 5, it says, All the mingled people and all the men of the land. In other words, they translate the word Shup as all. So that is not in identifying another country per se, but it's just talking about all the men of the lands who are allied shall fall with them by the sword. Let's keep reading to see what else is stated here. Verse 6, Thus says the Lord, Those who uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down. From Migdol to Syene, now these are cities in Egypt, it's talking about from one border of Egypt to the other. Those within her shall fall by the sword, says the Lord God. They shall be desolate in the midst of the desolate countries, and her cities shall be in the midst of the cities that are laid waste. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have set a fire in Egypt, and all your helpers are destroyed. On that day messengers shall go forth from me in ships to make the careless Ethiopians afraid, and great anguish shall come upon them, as on the day of Egypt, for indeed it is coming. And then at verse 18, at Tiphanhephes, now that's again a city which is part of Egypt, in Jeremiah 43 and verse 7 that's referred to. At that particular place, the day shall also be darkened, when I break the yokes of Egypt there, and her arrogant strength shall cease in her. As for her, a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters, talking about the Egyptians, shall go into captivity. Thus I will execute judgments on Egypt, and then they shall know that I am the Lord. So we are talking about the Israelites and the Jews going into captivity, but the Egyptians will also go into captivity. Now, I'd like you to notice, we read before some of those countries, and we sang a song at the beginning of the service, which was adopted from Psalm 83. And in Psalm 83, a confederacy is mentioned between Assyria and certain Arab nations, and they all are against Israel. But none of the countries which are listed here in Ezekiel 30 are part of that confederacy. They are different countries. And so, yes, there seems to be some kind of a confederacy described here in Ezekiel 30, but they are not the ones mentioned in Psalm 83. Now, also, just in passing, you might want to go back to our booklet, The Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord, something we wrote about, what, 8 years or so ago. I would recommend you go back and read it, specifically chapter 3, which talks about ancient and modern Tyre in prophecy. Because what's being described there is, I believe, in the process of being fulfilled right now. That's talking about Tyre. But, of course, it's not talking about the ancient city of Tyre. It's talking about a mystical Tyre, which can be identified as modern Babylon, which can be identified as the last resurrection of the ancient Roman Empire, the Babylonian system, as it's referred to in the book of Revelation. But there it's talking about in Ezekiel 27 as Tyre. And it's an economic power, and many nations have economic contacts with that power, Babylon. And Russia is mentioned. Persia is mentioned. Syria is mentioned. Of course, the house of Israel and Judah are mentioned. And on top of that, it also says that Persia, Lydia, and Libya, those three countries we read about, would be in Tyre's army as men of war, at least for a while. So you see that there is economic and military ties with these countries. Now, Persia is also mentioned again. Later on, of course, Persia is Iran today, in Ezekiel 38, in verse 5. That's talking about the time right after Israel is brought out of captivity, has been brought into the promised land, when the Russians and the Chinese and the Japanese and the Indians will try to attack Israel. And as I said, Persia is amongst them, and so is Ethiopia, and so is Libya. So, again, looking at these constellations, you can already see where this might be going. Now let's turn to Ezekiel 32. Ezekiel 32, because we read about a cruel master who will rule over Egypt. Now here we find him identified. Ezekiel 32, beginning in verse 41. Now let's go Ezekiel 32, beginning in verse 11. Ezekiel 32, beginning in verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon. We're not talking about ancient Babylon. We are talking about the king of modern Babylon. The king of Assyria, King Jareb, as he is referred to in other scriptures. The king of Babylon shall come upon you by the swords of the mighty warriors, all of them the most terrible of the nations when it comes to fighting and war. I will cause your multitudes to fail. They shall plunder the pomp of Egypt, and all its multitude shall be destroyed. And I will destroy all its animals from beside its great waters, The foot of man shall muddy them no more, nor shall the hoofs of animals muddy them. Then I will make their waters clear and make their rivers run like oil, says the Lord God. When I make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country is destitute of all that once filled it, when I strike all who dwell in it, then they shall know that I am the Lord. All these terrible things will have to happen first, before mankind will wake up, and the Egyptians will wake up. Ultimately, they're not awake today at all, as most of man is not awake today at all. But God will say the time will come when they will recognize me as their God. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 30. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 11 now. There's a scripture again which we have referred to many times. It's important to read it here in context. Daniel 11 beginning in verse 41. Because this talks about the king of the north. None other than the beast. None other than the king of Babylon. None other than the king of Assyria. The king of the north. Verse 41. He shall enter the glorious lands, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hands. Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon, all those countries which were part of the confederacy with Assyria, they will escape his hands. Verse 42, he shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and of all the precious things of Egypt. We just read that he will plunder the fortunes of Egypt. Also, the Libyans and Ethiopians, see those who kind of are in alliance with Egypt, shall follow at his heels. Now, that could mean either they follow voluntarily, it could mean they will follow as those who have been beaten in war, and now they are just following his heels. So we see the same kind of alliance again between Egypt and Libya and Ethiopia. Now, let's turn to the book of Hosea, because it tells us some more about the future of Egypt. Hosea, and of course the United States of America and Great Britain and the house of Judah. Hosea chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. Ephraim, talking mainly about Great Britain, the British Commonwealth, by extension could also refer to the United States. Ephraim is like a silly dove without sense. God is not mincing any words, is he? Describing our peoples. We are without sense. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Wherever they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like birds of the air. I will chastise them according to what their congregation has heard, according to what God's church is proclaiming. And then it goes on to say in Hosea chapter 9 and in verse 3, they shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt and shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Also notice Hosea chapter 11. And verse 5. Now that's very important, because we just read Ephraim will go back to Egypt. Notice what it says, however, in Hosea 11, verse 5. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, the king of Assyria, the king of Babylon, the beast, because they refuse to repent. See, I've been in the church long enough to know that many times wrath is being expressed against these bad Germans who are doing these terrible things against the United States of America and Great Britain. And they will. But we also have to understand that God is allowing it. Why? Because the United States of America and Great Britain are refusing to repent. They refuse to turn to God. I don't care how religious they appear to be. I don't care how religious some of the commentators are on television and talking about returning to God, and then they are talking about the Trinity, and they are talking about, you know, worshiping God on Christmas. They refuse to return to the true God, and that's why God is allowing these things to happen. But notice, it says they shall not return to the land of Egypt. We just read that they shall return to Egypt. Is that a contradiction? Also notice in verses 10 and 11 of Hosea 11. Hosea 11, verse 10. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his sons shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt. like a dove from the land of Assyria, and I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord. A distinction is made between Egypt and the land of Egypt. When it talks about the land of Egypt, then clearly we're talking about the land of Egypt. When it talks about Egypt, it may not talk about the land of Egypt at all. It may talk about the kind of slavery Israel had to encounter as it did in Egypt. It is talking about slavery, per se. And so it's not a contradiction. What the scriptures are telling us is that the house of Israel will be captives in the land of Assyria, not in Egypt. However, the house of Judah will mainly be captured in the land of Egypt, because we just read in Isaiah 27 and verse 13 that ghosts will come back from the land of Assyria and the land of Egypt. But you have to differentiate between what tribes we are talking about. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 28, another reference, another prophecy as to slavery, which is clearly prophesied. You see, people today don't believe any longer that the house of Israel will go into slavery, or the house of Judah will go into slavery. I just did a standing watch program, and people started writing in, and they reject even the concept that the Jews would be going into slavery, let alone the house of Israel. But the Bible is very clear on that. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 68, talking about Israel and Judah. And it says here, "And the Lord will take you back to Egypt." Now, this could refer to the land of Egypt. It could refer to the kind of slavery Israel had to endure under Moses. The Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships, by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. You see, clear captivity is described for the entire house of Israel and Judah. And so those who refuse to believe it, refuse to believe what the Bible says. There are more scriptures. Let's quickly turn to Joel chapter 3. And of course, the scriptures I'm quoting today, I'm just scratching the surface, so to speak, just to give you a very general overview as to what is described, what is going to happen. And so some of these scriptures don't fit into the paradigm of some who have come up with all kinds of interesting prophetic scenarios. But that doesn't mean that we should just ignore those scriptures. Joel chapter 3 and verse 19. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness. Now I believe that Edom mainly refers to Turkey. That's what we have taught, and I don't see any reason to go away from that concept. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, because of violence against the people of Judah, for they have shed innocent blood in their land. Both Egypt and Edom have committed violence against the people of Judah and have shed innocent blood in their land. The final book I want to turn to today in this split sermon is Zechariah. Zechariah also has a few things to say about the future of Egypt. Zechariah chapter 10, beginning in verse 10. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 10. I also will bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no more room is found for them. He shall pass through the sea with affliction and strike the waves of the sea, and all the depths of the river Nile, shall dry up. Then the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart. Again, showing that these two countries will have enslaved the nations of Israel and Judah. The pride of Assyria shall be brought down, the scepter of Egypt shall depart. Verse 12. So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. And finally, let's turn to a scripture, a very familiar one, in Zechariah chapter 14, talking about the time of the millennium. We have already read that Egypt will begin to understand who God is, and they will begin worshiping Him and obeying Him, but not immediately. It will take time. And so here we find an interesting scripture in Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, the Savior of Egypt, as we have read, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. And now he singles out one particular nation. Why? Because obviously of the persistent stubbornness which has to be overcome. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody will be taught to not only believe in God, but to also obey Him. And God will deal with everybody who is unwilling to do that. Now, that time hasn't come yet, but as we have seen, God is heavily involved in the events which will lead up to the return of Jesus Christ. And I believe He is already heavily involved right now as we speak. The situation in Egypt is an explosive one. And as we have seen, clear prophecies indicate what is going to happen to Egypt. And so we should keep watching as to what is happening in that part of the world, and at the same time observing the fact how biblical prophecy is being fulfilled.